Shalom, shalom. The first lesson is found in the book of Zechariah, chapter 13, beginning with verse 9b. I will refine them like silver and test them like gold. They will call on my name and I will answer them. I will say, they are my people, and they will say, the Lord is our God. The word of the Lord. The psalm reading is found in Psalm 34, beginning with verse 8. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you, his holy people, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The second lesson is found in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. The word of the Lord. Please stand for the reading of the gospel.
The gospel reading is found in the gospel of John, chapter 15, beginning with verse 1. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. The gospel of the Lord. All right, please be seated. It is an honor to be able to welcome them. Mim Nellermo. For those of you who don't know Mim, she and her husband Jeff was pastor here for a long time, and they not left ministry, but went into mission, and were in China for quite a while, and now 6 years, and then now it's continuing to work with displaced Chinese people and so forth. So Mim will tell you all about it, but let's welcome her and hear about China Service Ventures. I did it! Yay, okay. Here, I can leave that.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Ni hao. So remember, we have to go down, up, down, up. Ni hao. You good? Give me a thumbs up if you're good. Give me double thumbs up if God is good to you. Amen. So greetings from the brothers and sisters in China and in Hong Kong, and they're displaced all over the world. We also serve, there's 600,000 that fled to England to try to give their children a chance for childhood and to not be brainwashed into communism and to not be have their faith stolen. And you guys have been supporting us since we walked out from Good Shepherd. We got down to two suitcases and headed to China. And it was the greatest stretch of my faith in my life. And I felt like a cat clinging on to Jesus. And because of that, I saw more miracles than ever in my life. And I felt his power, and I never felt unsafe. Though we were followed, my phone is tapped, and Jesus loves you. And our apartment, all of a sudden some business, you know, they'd have someone working on the wall outside our apartment saying, oh, we have some electrical things we need to work on. They were bugging our apartment. And our computers were bugged as well. But we, through it all, just shared Christ boldly and led people to the Lord, but most importantly, discipled disciple makers so they continue to make disciples and led children to the Lord so that they could have hope, joy, and love, promise, and be our next ambassadors, evangelists, pastors, youth pastors, and serve him their whole life. And the children are the most powerful group of people that we have as missions. And I'm challenging, yeah. I know you guys have a big decision today. I'm challenging you to have a leap of faith and cling on to Jesus as you give him the need to reach the children of this area. You know? So our children, the children we just served that you guys helped send us to, so you've been sending us for the last 12 years, financially and prayerfully, and we can feel your prayers protect us. There's a spiritual darkness in China. You know how you get the inversion layer here? Imagine that as the darkness and the sin and the fear of China. So when you get the inversion, please pray for China and the Hong Kong people, because our brothers and sisters are under that heavy oppression of communism and atheism, and Xi Jinping, President Xi Jinping, is trying to squeeze Jesus out of memory in China. Can you do this? Squeeze. What happens when you squeeze something? Let's say tomato. So the church is the fastest growing church in the world in China. They can keep squeezing, and the Holy Spirit keeps growing. So they, if we were in China, you would be gathering, let's say these two pews would go over to the park on the top of the hill where I used to live and ride a motorcycle. What's it called at the top of this? It's a really beautiful one. It used to be Alta Airport. Anyway, so you'd be gathering, you'd be walking up there today, and you'd have your phones, which will be your Bibles, and you would be singing, and you'd be praying, and you'd be reading God's word as you walk where no one can listen to you on the you know how they have eyes and ears everywhere. You guys maybe would be down the street here near Hillcrest High School. You'd be gathering in small groups, and every day, every time you'd gather, it'd be a different place so they couldn't pin you down and capture you and interrogate you. Pastor Jeff, so I'm a pastor's wife, and I'm a TO, a theological offspring. My father was Pastor Jerome Trelsted, or Pastor Jerry, that served here for 11 years when I was a kid. And I was an ankle biter, chandelier swinger, curtain climber. We used to play hide and go seek and a game called Bluey in the church here. And you know, I was a rascal, and I still am. I'm a rascal for Jesus. And I'm a clown for Christ, I'm a competitor for Christ. And I get to use sports as an avenue to share Christ with these children. So between the love of Jesus, the word of Jesus, worship, and sports, there's a bridge between heart to heart where Jesus can go faster. Thank you for sending us. Thank you for giving financially as a church, individually as families. We need some more monthly teammates in the Great Commission Army in order to keep our ministry going. You can talk to me in that back table. But please, focus on your mission within your children, and don't forget to go, ye therefore, and serve, also continue your global missions outreach. God bless you, and may he, may you feel his hugs physically today, and when you see that inversion, pray for the Chinese children and the Hong Kong children. Thank you.
Thanks, ma'am. Yeah, we love being mission partners with them.
Today, let's pray, but we're gonna answer a question, and I think it's gonna roll into next week too, because something cool came up and it threw all my plans to the wind. So it, in a really good way. Let's pray. Lord, thank you, God, for the great cloud of witnesses. Thank you, God, for making us saints. God, you do it. We don't do it, but Lord, you do it, and you use us. So, Lord, at this time, Lord Jesus, help us to see what that means for us. What is a saint? In Jesus' name, amen. So, yeah, well, that's our question today, and I think I can pretty much guarantee for next week, too. What's a saint? What's a saint? And usually when we think, oh, what's a saint, we think about, you know, what Hebrews 12 says, the preacher. And he says, we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. And so saints, we often, you know, in the creed, we say the communion of the saints, right? And we think about people who have gone before us. Hopefully people who've gone before us who've made a Christ impact on us. But that's what we typically think of a saint. But the truth is that God makes us to be saints here and now for a reason. Not just saint, being a saint isn't just about, you know, when you die. It's not about two verified miracles, before you die, right? It's something else. And so this great cloud of witnesses that the preacher of Hebrews is talking about, it's actually kind of a therefore statement. Therefore, we are surrounded by. I always got to ask, what's the therefore? Okay? And so you go back a little bit. And so chapter 11, you find out, who is this great cloud of witnesses that this guy's talking about? And he's talking about heroes of the faith, people we would say, oh, they kind of made a big difference in the Bible. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Enoch, Abel, Joseph, Moses. But the one I want to talk about today that he mentions, and it's like, wow, why did he mention her? For a very good reason, actually, is Rahab. Rahab the prostitute, okay? This is how she's always referred to even in the New Testament, Rahab the prostitute. I think they do it on purpose to show us, look, God doesn't take perfect people to build his kingdom with. He takes broken people and makes them pure and holy and builds his kingdom with them, you know? And so this woman, Rahab, she's a very important person in Scripture. And I love that the preacher of this sermon of Hebrews picks up on her, because she is really important, especially when you're thinking about the cloud of witnesses, especially when you're thinking, what's a saint? Because here's this woman. This is from when the Israelites have wandered for 40 years. The first generation's died off. Joshua is now in charge. And they're going in, and they're going to go into the city of Jericho. And Joshua sends two spies into Jericho. And these spies go in, and they check out the land. And the king finds out there's spies in the land. And there's this woman, Rahab, who protects them and actually rescues them, lowers them down the wall in a basket. She protects them. I'm muddled today. But she hangs a red scarlet cloth on her window, and that's a sign that when the Israelites come in, she's to be spared. And one of the things that she said to the spies that I think is just really important for us, she said, I'm sorry, I'm using my parlance here. Y'all don't understand that we have been here in Jericho. You're terrified of us. We've been terrified of you for 40 years because of what your God did to the armies of the Pharaoh of Egypt. You've been scared out of your minds for no reason. We've been terrified of you because of the power of your God. And so it's we Christians, we need to remember who God is, and that he's on our side. And if he's for us, what can stand against us? We don't need to. The Israelites, they had this broken, fearful slave mentality when they could have been walking in victory. They could have been walking in hope and in faith. They could have been moving. They could have gotten the promised land in 2 weeks instead of 40 years. But they let fear rule them. And the bondage of that fear is slavery, you know. And it didn't need to be that way. But this woman was just waiting to meet them. And so when she meets these guys, she converts. to Judaism. She's a Gentile, but she converts to Judaism. And she, some of the rabbinical literature is really interesting. She's a prostitute. What does that mean? That she has, well, she hears the secrets. Because what the rabbinical literature says is that this woman, Rahab, was so beautiful, so incredibly beautiful, that even her name would stir men's hearts. We'll just go with that. And that she was well sought by the kings and the princes and the governors. And so she knew everything that was going on. That's how she was able to rescue these spies. But she was ready to give her life to the God of Israel. And so when the city fell and her family, she and her children, many children, were saved, she gave her life to Yahweh. And she married a Hebrew guy named Solomon. And she, I don't know if you know your Bible, was the mother of a guy named Boaz. From Ruth, the book of Ruth, and then as Christians, why does that matter to us? She was an ancestor of Jesus Christ. So what is a saint then? It's the perfect example. Why did the preacher of Hebrews put her in there? She's the perfect example of a saint. A saint is a person, a broken person, who is made pure and holy by God to point the way to Jesus. That's exactly who she was. A person who was broken, sinner, made loved by God, made pure by God, made holy by God, used for his purposes, and literally pointed the way to Jesus. And that's what we are. If you've been saved, you've been sanctified. You've been made pure by God. And of course, sanctification is a long process, but when we get saved, God makes us holy. So you don't ever get to, hello, saints.
Hello.
All right. But don't answer yet. Hello on this one. Hello, sinners. Because we've been wrong. I really feel this is a theological point that I need to make here today, especially in the Lutheran world, because we say we are at the same time saints and sinners. Bear with me. He makes us saints, and yet we sin. That Latin simul justus et peccator, simultaneously saints and sinners, does not mean that you're simultaneously a saint and a sinner. You can't be. But you can be a saint who sins. And we said it in confession today. God is faithful and just. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You are saints. And you were made pure by God to point the way to Jesus. And he doesn't wait for perfect people to do this. He takes us. And he does this. So I had a whole bunch more, which I'm going to actually, I think it's important enough to share with you next week. But Jeremy told me this story a couple of days ago, and I said, dude, I couldn't ask for a better example. Please just come up and share your story. So Jared, come in and tell us your story. And I couldn't ask for a better illustration than this, all right? So there you go.
Good morning, Good Shepherd. How you guys doing? Good morning. God is good. All the time. Amen. Amen. Before I get to what I have to say, I just wanted to, I was listening to Mim. This is the second time I got a chance to listen to what she does. And we're all called to be evangelists. I mean, some of it's a little bit stronger gift. Some of us, it's a little bit harder. But every place in life that we get to share the gospel and the love of Jesus, we've got to go and do it. Amen. Amen. And I was thinking about her story, how, as a kid, she was a pastor's kid who might have been a little bit rebellious. And that's all of our story, right? I know it's my story. I mean, I was raised in church. I fought God for many, many years on my own calling on my life. And thank God I'm saved. I am a saint who sins, but God is good. So before I get to what I have to say, let's just pray real quick. God, thank you so much for this moment. Thank you, God, for Good Shepherd and the work that you are doing here. Thank you, God, that Jesus, you have a plan and a purpose for each person in this building, in this city, this world, God, that you want them to come to know you. And Lord, I thank you, God, for you, for the power of the Holy Spirit that comes, Lord, when we listen to you and we repent and we turn from our sins and we become what you want us to be, Lord. We love you. We give you the praise and the glory. Amen. Amen. Well, so it's a little hard story for me to tell because I'm usually not like this. Usually I'm very, like, real open to people. And a lot of you know me. Some of you that don't know me, I'm Jeremy. Nice to meet you. But the other night, I work some late nights sometimes because of my job. And I, you know, I'm coming home. I'm definitely hangry. Have y'all been hangry before? And you don't want to talk to anybody? Right, so I was hangry. And, you know, I knew I didn't want to get food. I just want to go home, right? But before I went home, I wanted to get my truck washed because Utah's dirty rain drives me nuts, right? So I'm looking at my truck. It's gross. It's dirty. So I wanted to stop at this this little car wash on 90th South in West Jordan on my way home. And so I make every intention. I go there. I get ready to get in line, in the little line to go to the car wash. And, you know, I'm pulling out some trash out of my truck, you know, and throwing it away. In the corner of my eye, you know, has this happened to you? This might have happened to everybody, I'm sure. I see something or somebody approaching, and automatically, I get mean. And I shut down, because, you know, automatically, you guys have all been asked, hey, can you help me? You know, I'm out of gas. You know, you've heard the stories. You know, and a lot of times our heart turns to, I don't believe your story. I don't want to have anything to do with you. But I was even worse. I said, I don't want anything to do with you. Get away. I don't have anything. I don't want anything to do with you. And I was just grumpy. I was mean. And those of you who know me know that's not really me. But I totally shooed him away. And he got two little sentences out. Can you help me? Before I said no and shoot him away. And you could see the heartbreak on his face. As I told him that, his head went down, and he walked away. And I just, in my heart, I was like, okay, good, that's over with. I can go get my car washed now. And, you know, I'm going to tell some things I didn't tell in the first service because I remembered some things. As I'm going into the car wash line, I finish throwing my trash away, and I get my phone out to scan a little code on the thing to open up the car wash door, right? And as the car wash door is opening, I hear the Holy Spirit say, son, I didn't make you that way. I didn't create you to be like that. You've been saved. I've given you so much. I fed you when you were in need. I have literally fed you when you had nothing. And in that moment, I have to admit, I was not done fighting with God yet about it. So I get the door opens. I go through the wash and I'm stuck in the wash, right? And then it's me and the Holy Spirit. And we're battling because my own flesh wants to go home, see my wife, and just go hang out and go rest and go to bed. But the Holy Spirit said, I have not made you that way. I've made you to be an evangelist, to love on people, to give to the needy when they don't have anything, when they need hope, when they need to be restored. And I know this is a calling on my life. I mean, I'm working to become a pastor. And in that moment, I'm in the car wash, and I'm like, but I don't want to, God. I just want to go home. I just want to go home and watch a movie and go sleep. So needless to say, the car wash shuts off, and I'm like, okay, God, I agree. And he says, I physically hear the Holy Spirit say, and I don't know if y'all have heard, done this, or God spoke to you like this, go find that person. Go find him. And I was like, but it's like 10 o'clock at night. He could have a knife or a gun, you know? And like, the Lord says, go find him. I don't care. Go find him. And I'm like, okay. And, you know, automatically, I'm like, okay, I know I need to do this. This is going to be hard, but I know I need to do this, right? So I get done with my car wash, come out, and so I drive across the street to empty parking lot. There's nobody around. You know, I drive it to another parking lot. There's nobody around. I drive a half mile down the road, and I finally see this guy who's the same guy. And I say, "Is that him, Lord?" Lord says, "Yes, that's him." So I drive up to him pretty cautiously. He probably thinks I'm a creep, a freak, or whatever, you know. And, you know, first thing I said, I rolled my window down. He comes up to me, and I'm like, "Hey, I am so sorry. I am not like that. I was so mean and cruel to you. I'm so sorry." And I could see his face. And I didn't tell the first services. I forgot. But he looked at me and said, "You're the first person that's talked to me all day. All day. No one's listening. No one's talked to me." And in that moment, the Holy Spirit was speaking to my heart. And I was like, "Well, what's your name?" And I'm not going to tell his name, but he told me his name. And I said, "You have a few minutes to talk. I just would love to share the love of Jesus to you." And he's like, "Yeah, sure." And for the next few minutes, I shared the love of Jesus and what Jesus has done in my own life and how God has changed me and transformed me. And I got to hear his story and how broken he was. And we're all broken. Amen? Amen. But God is faithful and true. And this man, that he accepted Christ. We got a chance to pray together, you know, and I was hoping he'd come today. I don't know if he did, but if you're out there, you know, praise God. But and then I said, "Well, I want to feed you." And he was so happy. He lit up like a Christmas tree, you know. He was like, "I've been so hungry. You know, I've been so hungry." So, you know, it's like whatever time of night, we go drive over to Burger King, and I don't eat with them because personal reasons, I just didn't eat with them. But the joy of seeing him eat and just being able to be there to witness that, you know, that change, because you know when God speaks, he's going to work, right? When we accept him in our heart, God does things. He changes us. Doesn't matter what depth you're in. No matter where you're at, I got a few verses for you before I close. It is for discipline. This is Hebrews 12:7, going back to what we're talking about, that God deals with you as sons. For what son does his father not discipline? For whom the father loves, he also chastises. So good, in that moment, I might have felt the pain of chastisement, but the outcome was way worth the pain, you know? In 1 Peter, it says, 3:15, it says, "Sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. Always be ready to make a defense for everybody who asks you to give an account for the hope that's in you, for the gentleness and respect." That is so important, guys. And right now, if you're listening to this message and you don't know love Jesus in your heart, you don't know that he came to heal the brokenness so you can become a saint, I want to invite you in the next few minutes, as Jeff does the rest of his sermon, to accept Jesus in your heart. He's going to change your life forever, and you'll never be the same. I got joy in my face. Like, I get accused of smiling too much. But it's because Jesus changed my life, and I'll never be the same. And lastly, in Isaiah 6:9, he says, "Who will go for me? Who will take my words to the end of the earth?" Isaiah says, "I will." And I remember when God gave me that same call, I said the same thing. "I will go, God, because I love you. I want people to know your goodness, your mercy. And I never want to be the guy that turns someone away because of how they look, because I'm hangry, or because I just don't have the time. Because everybody in this room, in this world, needs Jesus." Amen? Amen. And to the ends of the earth. And he asked the Father, he said, "Well, how long shall I go?" And God basically says the next few verses, "Forever. Go and share my love." So I just want to encourage you, if you don't know Christ, now's the time. Not tomorrow. It's today. Know his love. Know his goodness. Give him your life. Give him your struggles. Amen.
I'm going to just wrap it up real quick with one important follow-up on this, and then, like I said, next week we'll get into some other fun stuff with it.
But this is real important. How do you get to that conversation with God thing where he convicts you and you end up getting pruned a little bit so that the fruit happens, right? So this is from John 15. This is an amazingly beautiful metaphor for what it means to be a saint in this world and how it happens, and also how it doesn't happen, right? How am I not, when am I not, okay? So Jesus says, I'm the true vine. My Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it'll bear even more fruit. He says, you're already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. So how did the fruit happen? Because, I'm not tooting Jeremy's horn, but he's a broken guy, but he remains on the vine. And we all need to be pruned sometimes. Now, if I'm not connected to the vine, then of course the branch is going to die, and then it should be cut off. And, in other places, Jesus says thrown into the fire and whatever. But the thing is, there's no life for us or for the world if it's not connected to the vine. And like one of my favorite things, when I was young, I studied German a lot. I have a degree in German, blah, blah, blah. One of the fun German traditions back in the old days was to take a cherry tree branch, and you'd soak it in hot water for a few days. And I think they put something else on it, I can't remember. But the thing is that cherry, it would blossom in time to be a decoration for Christmas. But it would only last a couple days because it's not connected to the vine. You could get a blossom, but you're never going to get fruit, see? We need to be connected to the vine. And that's what a saint is. A saint is just a person who's connected to the vine, allows themselves to be pruned by God so they can bear fruit. And what's the fruit? Pointing the way to Jesus. His kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Right? So stay connected to the vine. There's no reason for us to be unfruitful or dead or like the Israel living in fear when we could have been in the promised land. Stay connected to the vine and trust in his love, trust in his mercy. Let yourselves be pruned. No, it doesn't feel good sometimes, but I love what he said. It felt good afterwards, right? There's an old Jewish saying called, through judgment comes blessing. Dare you to read the book of Revelation that way. Through judgment comes blessing. That's the truth of God. So let's be saints, amen? All right, let's pray. Lord God, you do it. We don't do it. Best we can do is surrender to you and let you do it even better. Lord God, help us to be branches that bear fruit. Make us saints that point the way to Jesus. You're so good, Lord. And bless us as we receive communion today, as we speak the names of the ones that have gone before us, as we become one in the Spirit through your holiness. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's sing. We'll prepare for communion, and then I have some instructions.